Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Scott Petrak from the Chronicle-Telegram, brownzone.com. As he does every Monday at 11 o'clock, he joins us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Hello, Scott.
What's going on, guys?
Hey.
Well, we're kind of trying to think through some things here, as I'm sure they're trying to do in Berea right now. Tell me what this situation on the offensive line calls for. Does it call for patience, for action, overreacting? What does it call for? You know, because I'm not sure.
Yeah, I would say overreacting is probably not the right move, just in general. But I think that's a good question, Jeff. My first thought is patience. You know, I'm assuming, and I think the Browns are assuming, that Jed Wills will be back at some time relatively soon. Maybe that's not week one, but if it's week three and he's fine after that, do you really need to go get try to go find somebody, right? David Bakhtiari or whoever it is, right? Try to make a big move to address left tackle when you believe your starting left tackle's going to be back in week three. And I'm just using week three. It could be week one, right? Do you need to go make that kind of move? If James Hudson's only going to be out for a little bit, like Kevin Stefanski indicated yesterday, and Jermaine Ifedi's hand is okay, then you have two other tackles, and you're supposed to get Jack Conklin back at some point. And then you're probably fine, right? I mean, I get that now it looks really bad, and you have Ifedi and then two other guys and DeJuan Jones, and I don't know how you're going to get through this week, so you're going to have to add somebody to get through this week. But if you're talking about the regular season and long-term, I think patience might be okay, assuming you're going to get Jed Wills back relatively early. Now, they thought they were going to have him back by now, so I think there is some concern there.
Is there a place of depth where you think the Browns, if they needed to make a move to go out and get an offensive lineman, they could do it?
Yeah, well, first of all, it's hard to go get a tackle.
I know.
Right? Not a ton of them, right? The Browns went through this last year. Right? They lost, Conklin week one, then they lose Wills, then they lose Jones. They lost another guy that they was one of their veterans, right? So they really lost about four out of their first five guys last year. And they're playing Jerron Christian, right, at left tackle a bunch of the year, and James Hudson the third. So they're just not a bunch of tackles. But I'm sure some team has a tackle position that they feel pretty good about. And if I were the Browns, yeah, they have a ton of D tackles. And you could trade one of them in the hope of getting an offensive tackle, right? Like, to me, that makes the most sense, whether it's Siaki Ika or somebody else along that front. They have a bunch of D tackles.
Is this the point where we say this is why Bill Callahan was a miracle worker? And it's nothing against Andy Dickerson. I'm just right. I keep wondering, because it seemed like everything Bill touched while he was here worked. And I don't know that I don't know if that's luck or that was just the right guys or right technique or whatever. But this seems to be one of those spots you're like, wow, we're going to find out how much we miss him right now, right?
Well, that's certainly a part of this, right? Is that the team felt better knowing Bill Callahan was coaching those guys up. And he probably got the most out of, whether it's DeJuan Jones last year or James Hudson the third or Jerron Christian, right? I mean, those guys the Browns were able to go to the playoffs with Hudson and Christian playing near tackles for the last, whatever it was, month and a half of the season. And I do think Callahan deserves a lot of credit for that. Now, having said that, it's not like they left those guys on an island, right? They gave them help, and you have to figure out a way to not let that wreck your game and wreck the season. So you have David Njoku stay in and chip, and you have the running backs do that, right? So, I think Callahan is a part of this, And like, it's not like Saturday night against Minnesota. I think the Browns got sacked three times. I didn't feel like the quarterbacks were running for their lives Saturday.
True.
But when you watched Wednesday's joint practice, they were. I mean, I had Deshaun Watson getting sacked, you know, and it's subjective, but six or eight times and 24 dropbacks on Wednesday. And, you know, they had four of their starting guys out there and then left tackle. And they weren't all coming from left tackle, right? So there's more issues in play there that I think it's a little more concerning than just who's going to play left tackle.
Scott Petrak joining us. Scott, is Jack Conklin good to go, do you think, for the regular season opener?
No. I mean, you know, the Browns are being really secretive about injuries and rehabs. So we kind of have to base the progress on, okay, do we see him out watching practice? Like, that feels like a step forward. And then sometimes you get to see guys working out with trainers after, with the athletic training staff after walkthrough, right? And then you gauge that a little bit. And I haven't seen Conklin do any of, like, I haven't seen any of his workouts. So he's back around the team, which is a good sign. He's back watching practice, which is a good sign. But I feel like he's behind Jed Wills, and Jed Wills isn't practicing this week. So I'd be stunned if Jack were ready to go week one. And I don't know if they were ever counting on him being able to go week one. But obviously with the other tackle injuries, that gets magnified.
DeJuan Jones played against Green Bay, did not play against Minnesota. He's good to go, correct?
Yeah, I mean, that was just all the starters got right. The day off. I mean, he took every rep in those joint practices.
Nick Chubb, his name's starting to percolate again. What do you think? Do we see him for one of the first four games here? Is he not on the PUP list when the season starts?
No, I think he starts on PUP. I think October seems to make the most sense to me. I mean, I was blown away when I saw him running the Greenbrier at the Greenbrier, and I've seen him run since, and I'm always blown away by it. But there's a difference between, you know, running by yourself versus playing in an NFL game and cutting and taking hits and all those things. And we know the Browns are being extremely cautious with him, which makes sense coming off the injury, the magnitude of that injury and all of it, right? So I don't think there's any reason, I don't think there's any inclination on their part to rush him back. So I'm still looking at October sometime. Now, nobody's told me that. And maybe they have him on the 53, you know, in a couple of weeks, but that doesn't seem like how this is progressing to me.
Scott, let me go back to the offensive line for one last thing. Is the idea of moving Joel Bitonio to left tackle now a bad idea? It doesn't feel right to me.
Yeah, I think it is a bad idea, Jeff, and there's a couple reasons. One, he doesn't want to do it. Two,
bingo, there's the first
game over.
Yeah, that's it to me.
Yeah, I mean, two, he's better at guard. And three, he's not as young as he used to be, right? And Joel's coming off what was a difficult year for him injury-wise, and I would think even performance-wise, which was connected to the injuries that he had, right? Missed his first regular season snaps in forever because he had to get the knee scope during the season. I don't think this is the right time to say, okay, you go on an island and we're going to ask you to block Micah Parsons week one. I'm not saying that he wouldn't be better at it than, you know, Jermaine Ifedi, but Ifedi started a bunch of games in this league at tackle. So I don't think you weaken left guard just for maybe a minimal upgrade in what would be a temporary fix.
You know, it's funny, you know, you look around the league to see who's playing their starters and who's not. Do you think Kevin's got this thing right? I don't know. I'm just curious your thoughts.
Yeah, you know what? And this is the topic every year, and I get it, and I get this question from a bunch of people. I don't know if there's a right or wrong answer. I understand trying to get – I mean, all we talk about during training camp are the injuries, right? Because people worry about it, and I get it. Well, you know how you avoid injuries or more injuries is by not playing these guys in the preseason. So if you want guys to be healthy week one and you want them to hopefully be healthy week 8 and week 17, part of that is maybe you don't play them in the preseason. On the other hand, you lose valuable reps. So I get it on both sides, but I kind of lean back on, I'm not sure 15 reps in August at preseason speed make that big a difference. So if he wants to rest guys, you know, I think that's fine. But obviously, but you know, his philosophy is to play him the last preseason game, and until we hear different, until we hear differently, he's going to play Watson and most of the starters against Seattle.
Scott Petrak joining us, brownzone.com, where you can read all of Scott's work. Have any of the young guys at wide receiver jumped up enough that you think that they're on the radar for a roster spot and maybe some activity? You know, obviously you've got Amari and Elijah Moore and Jerry Jeudy and Cedric Tillman who are going to be there. After that, you tell me.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, here's the two that are interesting to me. Michael Woods II, who missed all of last year with the Achilles, right? They're playing him a ton.
69% of the snaps last game.
Yeah. And I don't think he had a catch, but he was out there a ton. And I think that's just, okay, you missed all this time last year. Here you go. And they were kind of shorthanded receivers. I'm sure that was part of it. But he played a bunch in week one, too. So I've seen stuff from him. You know, he's shown up to me in camp practices. I thought he showed up a little bit against the Packers. And he's just big and physical, and he's fast. Like, there's a lot to like there. And then Jamar Thrash is the other guy. I'll tell you, early in camp, you know, I saw him drop passes. He's not, like, he's kind of small. When you look at him, I think he looks smaller to me than they list him. And I was thinking that, man, I don't know if he's on this roster. And he's shown up in the two games. So we know that they like to keep their own draft picks. I think he, if he hasn't earned a roster spot, I think he's real close with how he's come on in camp, but especially those two preseason games.
All right, David Bell, lock then?
I don't think so. I don't. I think that injury was bad for him. I mean, I don't know if they keep seven receivers. And if they do, one of them's probably returner. You know, Prochet or
Thrash
Garden,
too.
Right?
And Thrash can return. Thrash can return, yeah. Too, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. So I don't, you know, I don't know. I haven't done my final 53 yet. But I came in thinking that David Bell was going to have a hard time making this roster. And then I thought he got off to a good start in camp. And then the injury, I think that's tough for him. And other guys are having a chance to make an impression. So I would not say that Bell's a lock.
Siaki Ika played 45% of the defensive snaps the other day. Has he done anything to earn a roster spot? Or could this be an Anthony Schwartz,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying, situation where... Hey, you're going to have to eat this third-round draft choice.
Yeah, I think they're going to have to eat it. And maybe they find a team that is willing to take him or that wants him, because I think there's a couple things in play. I don't think he's the fit for the Jim Schwartz scheme. And I know the whole turn you from a dump truck into a Ferrari or whatever that quote was on draft night. I just don't think Ika has that in him. I think if he's going to have a role in the NFL, it's as – a big guy that holds down two blockers. And that's not what the Browns want him to do.
Like a nose guard in a 3-4, something like that,
yes.
Scott?
Yes. Yeah. Right? I mean, it can even be a 4-3 if you're just a two-gap guy. And that's not how the Browns play. So maybe a team's looking for him and they liked him, or looking for that, and they liked him coming out. But I don't think he's a fit, and I certainly don't think he deserves one of the – I mean, the most they keep at D-tackle is five, right? And I don't think he's one of those five guys at all. And every time I – kind of focus on him, I don't see him make a play, and I see his kind of back get turned to the line of scrimmage. I think he's going to be one of those, you know, I mean, I hate to say it this early, but I think he's a bust.
All right, Scott, I'm waiting that when the regular season starts that the dynamic kickoff is going to be absolutely dynamic and that everyone's holding things back. And yeah, that, you know, we heard Kevin Stefanski say, you know, the goal of this whole thing is still the same, kick the ball to the line and not into the end zone. I did think it was weird. Like, I didn't feel like after the safety, the team that gave up the safety was punished enough for giving up the safety. I thought that because I wasn't even thinking about dynamic kickoff on safety. I don't, just your thoughts on all of those things.
Well, yeah. First of all, the dynamic thing has been a huge misnomer, and it probably puts too much pressure on the kickoff. I think the kickoff's feeling that pressure, can't live up to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm hoping that we see more excitement when we get to the regular season. I think we will. But there's been nothing to see in the preseason so far to make, you know, me feel good about it or excited about it. But I do think there's a chance when we get to the regular season, it will be different. And then, to be honest with Andy, I saw the safety. I didn't pay any attention
because
I was trying to write. I don't even know where they kick off from. They didn't do from the 20 like they normally do.
No, it's like I thought it was like a 10-yard difference, and it looked exactly the same. And I'm like, well, wait a second, I think if a defense gets a safety, you know, and then I was expecting him to punt and not, and so right. I for some reason that feels like that's going to get tweaked at some point because it just seem right.
That's interesting. I'm gonna have to go watch that.
Yeah,
I taped the game because you're right. In the past, the punt made all the sense, right? That's what everybody did was punt.
Yeah.
But if the change of the kickoff affects that, that's a really good point.
We'll see. We'll see how it all plays out. It's just been kind of fun to talk about it, at least. That's for sure. Let's see what I think. I think it's going to get better during the regular season, Scott, because I think teams are going to run. I think we're going to see one guy handing it off to the other guy and then looping around the other side. We're going to see some more, crazy plays.
Yeah, I think you're probably right about that. And, you know, my buddies keep asking, well, why don't they just take the touchback to the 30? I don't think special teams coaches or coaches in general want to give up that extra yardage. So I think, until proven otherwise, they're going to kick it to the one or two and let their guys cover and let their guys return, unless it's late in the game and you don't want to risk it. But I think we're going to see action on it.
Scott, thank you for your time, sir.
Thanks, man.
Thanks, fellas.
Scott Petrak joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.